Who remembers No Fear, the surf brand? Okay, just a couple of you. Seriously, is it really only me and Justin? Okay, me and Justin. Okay, we got a few of us. So there was this brand, No Fear, and actually then there was the knockoff that you could get at Big Lots for like $5 instead of $20, the Ain't Scared. Anybody remember that? It was the Ain't Scared knockoff brand of No... Oh, it was so good. That's still my reaction when I hear Megan's opening question to junior worship when she says, what scares you? I grew up in a place where you were trained that once you became an adult, you weren't afraid anymore. Are you with me? We don't admit our fears. But as adults, what we started realizing is we're not scared anymore, but when we phrase the question just this much different, what makes you anxious? All of a sudden, then people are. Fascinating. You're going to love this one. We're going to get into neuropsychology today. So what makes you anxious? When was the last time that you were really anxious? And what did that anxiety feel like? Like where did you feel it? Was it in your left hand? Was it right here? Was it right here? Yeah, what's anxiety feel like? A friend asked me, they said, this would be a good one. What color is your anxiety? Oh, fascinating. Fascinating. And what's your brain do when you're anxious? How do you think? Not what do you think about, but how do you think? See, one of the things I realized is when I get anxious, and I came to find out later that most people do this, you go into either or thinking. It's either this or it's this. It's option A or option B. Something that makes me extremely anxious. Anybody know Marie Kondo? Have you heard this woman? This evil, evil, evil woman? She says, at best, you should keep 30 books. And I'm like, on my nightstand. Right? Because getting rid of stuff, I'm doing this deep clean of my house and we're going through, hey, and I realized I was anxious when, actually, this is a great if you're a note taker, I realized I was anxious when, ... My next door neighbor Steve sent me a text on Tuesday night and said, hey man, if you need an extra trash can, ours is only halfway full. See, what happened is when we moved from our old house 5 years ago to our new house, I just put stuff in boxes and I said I'd sort it when I got there. Yep. And now I'm opening up those boxes. Yep. And I'm going, oh no, 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 I got to find out what's in these boxes. Yep. Gold bullion, it's amazing. Yeah, right, how do we deal with that anxiety? One of the key ways you know you're dealing with anxiety is when we go into either or thinking. Either I throw it away, or I keep it. And we forget, oh, what if there's another option? What if I gift it to my sister? She was in the first service. Everybody laughed except her. Then I gave her the box. Now, as we approach today's text, one of the things that makes people super, super anxious is change. Whenever there was a way, you did it, and then there's a new way, you've got to do it. That makes people highly anxious, and they go into either-or thinking. Anybody remember the first, 2 weeks of COVID? You remember that? And people were like, we're going to be locked in our house, and in 2 weeks we'll all be done, and there will be parties in the streets. Does anybody remember that? One friend told me this. He said, I thought it was going to be that way, and now that the world is slowly opening back up, it's more like, and this was the best description, we thought it was going to be parties in the streets, but it's more like coming out of the movie theater when it's still daytime. Anybody kind of feeling that vibe? When we approach today's text, that's the backdrop. See, when we get to Joshua, let me just, if you have your Bibles, crack them open, because this is what Joshua is feeling. We're in Joshua 5, verses 10 through 15. And if you don't know the whole narrative, you miss this, because there's like key words in here that trigger you into what's going on. Starting in verse 10, when the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of the Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. And in case you missed it, Scripture goes on and says, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate the fruit of the land of Cana that year. In case you don't know the narrative, children of Israel, slaves in Egypt, walk across the Red Sea, send spies into the land. Joshua, one of those spies, the land is plentiful. There's grapes so big that it takes two guys on a stick to carry them. The produce is so big. Everybody else, we agree, but that means those guys are going to kill us. They decide not to go into the land. And they spend 40 years wandering around the desert. And during that time of wandering, they're wandering and wandering, and God provides manna. There are moments where they say, we want to go back to Egypt because there was at least food there because we are that sick of manna. Manna, by the way, is the Hebrew word to say manna in Israel today. You're still saying a phrase. The phrase is, what is it? Anybody ever have kids? And you serve them dinner. And they look at it and they get biblical and they say, manna? They look at the Brussels sprouts and they say, manna? What is it? What are you giving us? But they got used to manna. You get used to the way it is, and then they walk into the land of Cana, where they're eating. I mean, the land of Cana is known as the land flowing with milk and honey. Honey, by the way, isn't the little bear that we get. Honey was the Debrans of the day. Honey was the sweet treat. Milk is what the rich drank. If we were saying this today, they'd describe Cana as the land of fine wine and dark chocolate. Are you with me? And they tasted it for the first time after eating cornflakes for 40 years. And it caused anxiety. It was better, but it was different. How many times have you gone through that in your life? Yeah, a time or two, right? Yeah, I couldn't wait to move out of my parents' house and to get to set my own bedtime. And then I got to college and there was a sadness, an anxiety, a what if I make the right decision? And then there's that anxiety. What do you do then? Be very careful. Maybe you're in that way. Maybe before it was this way, and you're entering into a new season, be very, very, very careful of going into either or thinking. See, as people, if you're a note taker, we love options. We love option A or option B, but check out what God does. You see Joshua totally go into either or thinking. In verse 12, and when Joshua was in Jericho, he lifted his eyes up and he looked, and behold, a man was standing before them with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and he said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, I'm giving you. Are you this or are you this? Nah. He goes, let me tell you who I am. I will not be defined by who I'm for or who I'm against because I am so much bigger than that. He said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come, and Joshua laid face down and worshiped. Can we just be honest? So often, we don't just want to put people into category, into options, or things into options. We want to put people into options. No, are you one of them that's for us? Are you one of them that's against us? Yeah. What happens when the person says, "Nah, I'm not even playing that game"? Right. By Jesus' time, they did this. They had the Jews. The Jews had this certain ideology and this certain way of doing things. And the one thing, even though there were divisions among the Jews, the one thing all the Jews agreed on is we hate the Greeks. And then over here, there were the Greeks. And they had divisions among them. They had different political parties. But the one thing they could agree on, we hate the Jews. Fascinating. I love talking evolution with people. And I go, really? Come on, that was hilarious, right? Because you don't know anybody. Within a certain political party, there's things they agree with and there's things they disagree with, but the one thing they can't agree is they hate that other party. No? Okay, just turn on the TV, you'll see it. Later on today, you'll laugh at the joke. So all of a sudden, what happens? We don't just have a God that's destroying categories back then. By Galatians, and you can turn there if you want. Galatians 3, it actually says this: for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now there is neither Jew nor Greek. See, you thought the thing that you were supposed to figure out is option A or option B, and I'm going, nah, it's about Jesus. It goes on, by the way. They had men who thought a certain way about women, and women who thought a certain way about man. And so the next line he throws out and he goes, so it doesn't matter if you're male or female, it's about Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're slave or free, it's about Jesus. Are there these dichotomies? Yes, let's not pretend they aren't. But what it's about is Jesus. We have a God who shatters these categories. We think it's about options. God comes along and goes, I am doing a whole new thing. Gut check. Where are you still playing the old game? Where are you still going, man, maybe God's calling me out of this way of doing things into this new way, but I'm disqualified because blank. I know there's this person who I need to have a conversation with because they've got some things that they're doing in their life that are destroying their life, but I've still got sin in my life, so I'm not going to have that hard conversation. I've got somebody who's really struggling in their faith, and I know God's calling us both into this new category, but I go, there's those who have advanced degrees in theology, and I'm not one of them, so I can't have the conversation. I won't have the conversation with my kid until I've been a parent longer. I'll just stop and gut check. What's God calling you to do? Where you make it an either or, and God goes, I'm telling a whole new narrative. A whole new narrative, by the way, that's not new at all. I don't want you to miss this thing. When he asks, are you for me or against me? The guy responds, And you gotta understand, this isn't asking, are you on my team or my enemy's team? He's going, no, there is no enemy here. I'm the Lord. Yes, I'm on your team, but I'm on their team too. I want everybody to come to repentance. You think it's about this battle, but it's about this battle. And you might be missing this. The guy's response, who is this guy? Oh, no wonder it's not there. This is back in Joshua, if you're still hanging out in Galatians. Yeah, check out what he says. He says in Joshua 5, verse 14, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he says, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Who is the commander of the army of the Lord? Don't miss this. Let me put it this way. Who's buried in Grant's tomb? Grant. Who's the commander of the army of the Lord? Yeah, the Lord. I don't miss this. This is the Lord talking. How do you transcend these options where it's, I got to do A or B? And God's going, I'm calling you to do a new thing. Well, the new thing is actually not new at all. God's been showing up. If you want more about verse 13, guy, if you're going, whoa, I thought God just showed up in Jesus. Yes, that's the incarnation. That's when God put on flesh. But God shows up before he puts on flesh all the time. Here, Exodus 3, read the whole narrative, but it's what Megan talked about. There's a bush that's burning and not burning, and it talks to him. Yeah, that's God. That's God. Don't miss it. Genesis 18, you can read about that one too. God shows up in all these ways. Don't just take my word for it. Go back to Scripture. But then the question today is, we got to go, because we're going to get people that get all hokey-dokey and, you know, well, God just talked to me through a tree. Neat. No, how does God show up today? We go back to Scripture and we look at it. We know that God shows up in Jesus. But how's God show up today? Well, in John 20, verse 20, and I put these in here so you can read them for yourself. Jesus, this is post-resurrection Jesus, shows up and he does this intriguing thing. It says he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Huh, that's weird. Like if I went up to Micah and just saw him in the hallway and I just breathed on you, you'd give me this look like, dude, what? In COVID, he breathed on him through a mask. No, see, in Greek, there's this great word that's translated breath. It's called pneuma. Everybody say pneuma. It's translated breath, but it's also translated, right? And you know it is breath, right? You know pneuma? If somebody's coughing, they have pneuma. Yeah? Yeah, that's from the Greek. It's also translated spirit. So what does Jesus do? He looks at his disciples and he says, hey, we've interacted in this way. We're going to interact in this new way through my spirit. I'm going to pneuma on you. Fast forward to Acts. When the Holy Spirit shows up, how does the Holy Spirit show up in Acts? Yeah, little flames over their head. God's doing a new thing, except God's not. See, when the Holy Spirit shows up in Acts, the Holy Spirit's showing up in the flame. But if you go back to Exodus 13, when they were wandering around the desert, how did God lead them? With a pillar of? So all the way back then, God led them with his spirit. Oh, but Henry, that's not how it works. No, let me, you want to go deeper? Okay, let's go to the covenant. When God makes the covenant with Abraham, they cut the bull in half, and Abraham falls asleep, and what walks through the middle of the bull is fire. You can look it up yourself. God will lead us through God's Spirit. And how does God's Spirit always work? Through the Word. God's Spirit always, how do we figure out who God's Spirit was? We just did a little Bible O-N-E surfing. We went, oh, the Holy Spirit shows up this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. We go back to the Word. The Word made flesh that dwelt among us. When you're dealing with anxiety because of change, which I would say the whole world is kind of doing right now, And your brain goes, oh no, you've only got two options. You either fight or flight. You're either going to live. God goes, nah, I'm doing a whole new thing. I want to use you in new ways. And so we stop and we settle into that. And we go back to God's word and we see that time after time after time, God is with us. So let's talk to him right now. Good and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you that you've loved us. We thank you that you've forgiven us. We thank you that you're making us new every day. God, we thank you that you're so much bigger than our little two-option minds allow for sometimes. God, continue to shape us and lead us, mold us, and teach us to follow your way. God, when we're scared, guide us. When we're confident, guide us. And continue to just teach us, even as you taught us, to your disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.